And welcome back to another installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts. You know me. You love me. I am Darkness Tiger, also known as Devin, joined by my amazing co-host, Rad Dreams Review, also known as Mason.
Hey, what's up, guys? Rad Dreams here.
Welcome, Brother Man. And speaking of Brother Man, unfortunately, Brother Man is sick. iChameleon is out. He will not be joining us, but we wish him a speedy recovery in his current state of unwellness.
Yes, I hope he feels better.
It's probably all that fake ice cream he's been making.
What do you mean fake ice cream? It's still ice cream.
But he makes it at his house.
So that doesn't...
It's delicious.
It doesn't discount it.
It's delicious, I will absolutely agree, but when he's just making it just out of scratch from his house,
it's still ice cream.
It's still ice, is it?
Yes, it is.
If I don't know what paper for it, is it still ice cream?
How is it not?
I don't know. I'm just making things here, but I tell you right now, it's delicious.
You're stirring the pot.
I am stirring the pot. It is delicious, but I guarantee if you ate that every day, you would get sick.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? Anything in excess, right?
Yeah, that is true. When I was I was actually in Montreal last week, guys, and that's why I was here. I actually went to, there was an amazing ice cream store right around the corner from the house that I was staying at.
Oh, yeah?
And we got ice cream every single day.
Did you get sick?
I did not.
Hey.
Well, that's what I got. Did not get sick.
It's all right. I mean, you deserve to have a little bit of a cheat day or cheat days on your diet.
Oh, yeah. I had a full cheat week and it was nice. And then I'm kind of back on the diet this week and I'll be back off the diet next week because I will be in Florida.
Oh, nice. What are you going to Florida for?
Just a trip. Just hanging out. Just a vacation. Last week.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I work one week, vacation the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of like the mindset that my wife and I are on right now is we're in the whole like traveling mode, going to places that we want to go to. Like this weekend, we're going to be going to Chicago.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah. Hopefully we get to avoid all those teenagers that were making a muck, apparently.
Oh yeah. That Walmart.
Yeah. Apparently there was like a mass horde of like teenagers just causing a ruckus.
And this is why I tell you, listeners of Uninformed Gamers, do not have children.
Or, you know, if you do have children, you know, be good parents.
Yeah, that's a part of it. And you see this happening quite frequently, whether it's in Chicago. It actually happens everywhere, but Chicago is the one that's usually get the most talk about. Where it's just teenagers who are bored and they have nothing to do, just causing just ruckus, breaking into stuff, and just getting rid of all of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in my neighborhood too.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, you know, Jack and I, we went to, you know, Washington DC, did some cool stuff there, and then, you know, Chicago's coming up, and then after that I think we're going to like Georgia, and then we're going to like Michigan.
Oh wow. And we got to be traveling.
Yeah, so we got all sorts of fun stuff in the works. I'm very excited about Chicago because we are seeing a Japanese band that'll be performing for the very first time in the United States.
Oh, wow.
The band / group is called Rad Wimps.
Oh, Rad Dreams is going to go see Rad Wimps.
Yes. This group are most known for doing music for Makoto Shinkai films. He's basically like the next Hao Miyazaki in a way.
Ooh.
Like he's a very prolific director right now in anime.
Okay.
So I highly recommend checking out his films if you haven't already. His most notable was probably Weathering with You or probably Your Name.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. Thanks. Let me know how it is. It's actually ironic because I was planning on going to Chicago, but I feel like that's a city that's just too big for me to go by myself for the first time.
Yeah, I do recommend going with somebody for sure.
Yeah, I'll say I know this month I'm going to Florida. Next month I'm most likely going to be going to Portland. I was going to go to Phoenix, Arizona, but my friends who are staying out there said that's just way too hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they suggested I come out in September, even though in September I plan on going to Toronto. So maybe I'll do Phoenix and Toronto. It's this is the beauty of working from home. I can do whatever I want.
Exactly.
So
And I highly recommend going to Phoenix for sure.
I know I did the Arizona trip and I absolutely love this. I think Arizona is an underrated state for
It
vacation.
is. I know when Jackie and I went to Arizona, we absolutely loved it and want to go back.
Oh yeah, well if y'all want to go back, I'm down to go with y'all. I can show you some of the stuff that I seen and you guys show me some of the stuff y'all seen.
Hell yeah. That
All
sounds
right.
good.
Now, what we normally do when we get into our Uninformed Gamers podcast is we talk about what we've been up to for the last week. Mason,
Yes.
what have you been up to?
Let's see. Not a whole lot, actually, just more gaming. I ended up purchasing the Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection for the Nintendo Switch
Oh,
that just
very good pick.
released.
Yeah.
That was a very good purchase. I grew up with that video game when I was a kid, played it all the time on the Game Boy Advance, and now it is out for the Switch and other consoles, and I think it is also out for PC, but it includes every single Battle Network game that has like ever released.
And
So I'm very ex very
how many
excited.
games is that?
Six,
Jeez.
I want to say,
Yeah, about six.
if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I
But
think you're about right. Yeah.
yeah, I started playing that. Been having a lot of fun with that. And then I think that's pretty much it because I haven't really been doing too much else in terms of the gaming. But I did watch a movie that was god awful.
Did you see this movie in theaters?
No, I rented it from the library.
Oh, that, well, interesting. What was the movie?
It was the you might know it, our listeners might know it. It is the 2013 film starring Keanu Reeves called Ronin.
Oh yeah, I know it.
Was pretty bad.
Didn't like it?
No, not at all. I thought it was awful.
Keanu Reeves didn't do it for you in 40. It was 47 Ronin with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, basically.
And the Rotten Tomatoes score is 16.
Yeah, was not the best, unfortunately. I wanted to like it though, because Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
But here's what I said after watching the film. I think the movie would have succeeded and been better had, instead of a katana, they could have given Keanu Reeves' character a pencil, a fucking pencil.
Really?
Like John
Oh,
Wick.
yeah, like John Wick, fair. No, I'm gonna tell you right now, not every Keanu Reeves movie is a hit.
No, I know that. I've seen films of his that I did not enjoy, so
He's a hit or miss guy.
he is.
But also,
But
quick update to the accuracy department, it's not four, it was 10.
oh, okay.
Yep. So 10 games included in that little bundle for a low, low price of $59.99.
Yeah, I think that is a reasonable price, honestly, for everything that you get.
Oh yeah. But besides saying 47 Ronin, did you have any more updates for us?
I don't believe so.
All right. Well, unfortunately, guys, I have a few, which is rare for me. I finally, and I don't know if I've ever been happier to say this.
Okay, what's up?
I finally beat Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Hey.
I
There
am
you go. You're
done.
finally done.
I finished it on Monday. I was so excited when the credits rolled that I never have to play that game ever again.
Hell yeah.
And I really enjoyed the story. I really think I think every Yakuza game has an amazing story. I feel like Yakuza would make a great HBO TV series.
Really?
I think it would make a much better TV series than it would be a movie because there's just so many twists and
Yeah.
turns and development of a plot. But for some reason, it just Yakuza Like a Dragon just felt like I was putting a pause on life to finish it. And that's the same thing that I said when I finished Yakuza Zero. It's just such a long, drawn out game, and it's a
Yeah.
great game, but I can't focus on anything else.
I can get that. I can get that.
So once I finished it, I continued the game. I knocked out two achievements, and I think I'm just going to delete it off my Xbox because you're done
with it. You just don't want to see it ever again.
No, I've played it to maximum capacity, but I'm going to tell you right now, the next game I'm like not excited to play.
What?
I have to go back to Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Why?
Because I've started it, and that's the next big one that's on my list that I've already started.
Oh.
Because if I don't do Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I have to do Cyberpunk 2077.
But at least they improved that game.
Yeah, they improved it, but like I'm still like I think I'm holding off until like that DLC kicks in.
Yeah.
Before I hop in fully.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna beat out Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and then I'm basically back to being caught up with my necessary
like games. Backlog.
Yeah, my necessary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I want to clear out everything before Starfield arrives.
Yes, which when do we know when that's gonna come out officially yet?
I think they did give an actual like release date. Let me say I want to say September, but I could be wrong. September 6th of this year.
Okay, so yeah, it is coming up.
Yeah, I got a little bit of time. So I finished the game, and I also saw a movie.
What did you see?
Unfortunately, against my better judgment, I went to see Super Mario Brothers.
Why do you say against your better judgment? Did you not enjoy it?
I am not giving this movie a 5.
Are you giving it a 4?
I'm not.
3?
I feel comfortable giving this movie a 3.5 out of 5 on Informed Gamers.
Okay, so it's slightly above average?
Slightly above average, but my problem is, actually, normally we do the review segment at the end, but I kind of want to talk about this.
Yeah, let's knock it out.
My problem is, and I've been seeing this a lot, especially when it comes to like animated films, video games, or whatever, that you don't need like these A-list voice actors, celebrities to do these parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that was entirely true for this movie.
Okay.
You didn't need Charlie Day. And there was a moment where Donkey Kong appears, and he does the Seth Rogen laugh.
Yeah, he does
And I'm like, and I just sit there and I'm like, all right, that was dumb. That was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear Chris Pratt's voice. You can hear Charlie Day's voice. You can hear Seth Rogen. All the voices, you can just hear them. It's like, you could just hire randos. And I'd have been perfectly fine because I would have been taken less out of the movie than people I've never heard of before.
Well, here's the problem with a lot of these like Hollywood animated films is they have to, or at least they feel obligated or motivated to hire/... you know, cast these A-list names to, you know, draw people to the box office.
But my thing is, and I agree with you to an extent, I fully agree with you, if this is a brand new IP, like Illumination, when they created the Despicable Me series, they had, voice?
I mean, Steve Carell did Gru.
Yeah, that's a big name to me. Steve Carell is a very big name.
He is. He's a very big name.
Because that was a series that was brand new, was fresh. Nobody had ever heard of it.
Mm-hmm. And then had what's his face from Get Him to the Greek playing the evil scientist that worked with Gru. Russell Brand.
Yeah. So these are big names, and that makes sense because you've never heard of this. You need to get people into the film.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But people know Mario.
Yes. No one in that theater, and there was quite a few people in that theater, and that's also a point of conversation. There were quite a few people there, and no one cared who the voice actors were. They were just there to see a Super Mario animated movie.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, hey, I like Mario. I'm going to see this no matter what.
Yeah, it was a lot of parents taking their kids. The parents had no idea. But I want to say, before I get back into the movie itself, special shout out to the bro who took my seat, who is explaining, who was explaining every single reference to his girlfriend, who did not seem to care at all.
Oh, God, that's so annoying.
And I'm sitting there and like, I could see him out the corner of my eye. Whenever I would notice a reference, I would look at him at the corner of my eye and he would turn his head to his girlfriend and explain what was happening. He was mansplaining the movie that she was watching.
That's just... that's kind of triggering.
Honestly. Yeah, he was a bro, and he, for some reason, I don't know why that pissed me off so much. I'm like, she can see what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like she's, her own person. She's an intelligent human being. I think she can, decipher a fucking movie.
Exactly.
A kid's movie, no less.
But going back to Super Mario, the content itself, I only watched like the first trailer. I didn't want to watch any of the trailers because like trailers have a tendency to spoil the entire movie, right? I did not know that that trailer shows you the first like 2 minutes of the
Oh,
movie.
really?
Yes. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, this is the first 2 minutes. And then if you watch the rest of the trailer, it shows the entire movie. And I'm like, oh, there is no surprises in this movie. I've already seen the majority of this movie on a 2.5 minute trailer.
I see what you're saying.
Showing too much. You're showing too much for one. So I've already felt like I already seen the entirety of the movie. And for me, I don't need like this origin story learning a lesson. I know who Super Mario is. I know what he's about to do. I don't think anybody in the theater cares about, oh, well, Mario, you're a good person when you try hard. No, nobody give a F about that message. Just get us right into the action. Don't spend this time dealing up about how his family doesn't believe in him and Luigi, how he's dragging Luigi down. Nobody cares. That part was just not necessary. Just get us right into the movie.
So do you think it was like just oversaturated with
It
that then?
was like I felt like this was a movie where I'm like it wasn't. I didn't feel like this movie was too long, but I felt like they wasted time on that part. I feel like you didn't really need that in there because it didn't
I
really
gotcha.
tell any part of the story.
It didn't like add to anything.
Nope, them being plumbers did not add to the story at all. Literally, it didn't. Just the kind of like how they got started, sort of kind of them going into the sewer. And my last big complaint about this film was that as I'm watching it and as they're throwing in references, it felt like they had like a list of references they had to throw in there, and they were just going down and checking them off. And I don't need the references like given to me. Just
You
give
want to be
us.
able to like find them, like Easter eggs.
Yes, I want to be able to find them like Easter eggs. There's one scene where they're walking in Toadland or whatever, and they're walking past the shop, and this guy's buying something at the shop, and the guy is like, "Well, how do I use this?" And the guy says, "Oh, you blow into it." And I'm like, "Bro, just drop the Nintendo cartridge and don't say anything."
It seems for at least that reference in particular, they're telling rather than showing.
Yeah, and just like y'all don't need to give me every single reference. Every reference
No.
I don't need. Like there's a bunch of other references, but I don't want to give like a spoiler or anything. Overall, I thought the movie was fine. It has two end credit scenes, but like I didn't care to stay in after the credits. I'm like, I'll
That's
just read them.
understandable, and you could always watch them at another point,
Exactly.
online if you're like that curious.
But as everybody here knows, I do not like Chris Pratt.
No.
Nope.
And I don't know. I heard that he was definitely like a detriment to the film.
I sometimes forgot. I enjoyed the movie when I did not hear him talk.
Because
Like,
he's just doing himself.
he's doing himself with an Italian accent. And it's like, I know you're Chris Pratt. This is why I'm like, you don't need big characters for this, because I'm like, I know it's Chris Pratt. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't want to see the movie. It was because Chris Pratt was in it. But it was Tuesday. It was discount movie days. I'm not paying full price to hear Chris Pratt for an hour and a half. But was he the best part of it? No. Jack Black absolutely was.
Now here's the question though. I mean, we talked about this on the last episode, but I want your thoughts before we move on to our next topic. Does the song Peaches live up to the hype?
Yes, it does. I laughed
Hey,
out loud.
that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and let's change our topics here.
Yes.
And this one has gotten the internet up in a rile, like things, like everything does now.
Yep. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought that wizards of all things would just set the internet ablaze and just bring out the worst parts of humanity?
I mean, after J.K. Rowling's tweets, I absolutely can understand that.
Yeah. Just like looking at it from like the outside, I can't help but think to myself, just like, who would have thought?
Yeah, and what we're talking about, listeners, is that Warner Brother Games, who had just released the fantastic Hogwarts Legacy, has just announced a new game.
Yes, that is a, no, as we alluded to, a Harry Potter game.
Yeah, and it's the title is Harry Potter Quidditch Champions.
Yes, so we are going to be getting a official Quidditch game.
Now, you might be asking yourselves, well, why does that rile up the community? Isn't that what we wanted? Because Hogwarts Legacy was missing Quidditch. Why are people upset that now there is a Hogwarts game with Quidditch? Oh, okay, now you see the problem. So they took Quidditch out of Hogwarts Legacy
And made it its own game.
and made it its own game. They're going to sell it to you at full price.
They want that money.
Now, I will say there is differences because Hogwarts Legacy is more, it's not realistic looking,
It's
but
like, and it's an action adventure game.
it's an action adventure game looking, and this looks kind of more cartoony, kind of like the Fortnite style.
Yeah, it's definitely more geared towards the younger audience. Like, yeah, obviously, like millennials are gonna play it because, you know, the people within that age group love Harry Potter. But I do think this is targeted not only towards them, but also towards, like I said, the younger generation.
But my thing is like, do you think they're going to be able to charge $70 for this game? Because for
It
me,
doesn't look like a $70 game.
that doesn't mean that's not going to stop them. That is not going to stop them. But my thing is, and I can see why people are upset. Why wouldn't you? Well, I can understand from Warner Brothers' side, they're creating it's too much of a different engine than what they were working with Hogwarts Legacy. You need to separate the two. I understand that wholeheartedly from a business perspective. But as a consumer perspective, that is like selling a console without the controllers.
Or what a lot of companies do nowadays, it's very akin to a company releasing a video game that is incomplete and saying, "Oh, hey, we'll release the rest of it later on in DLC form."
Like The Sims. Now, Mason, if you were in charge of Warner Brothers' decision making, would you have released this as its own standalone game, or would you release this as a $30 downloadable content add-on for Hogwarts Legacy?
I would 100% released it as a DLC for Hogwarts Legacy, 100%.
I would have done the same, and the
Because
reason would have.
that just it makes more sense from a like a I guess a consumer point of view, but it makes this more sense on a business front for what they chose to do because, you know, they want to make the most money that they can.
Yeah.
So I get why they did what they did. Does it make it right? No, but I understand.
No, I get it too. And but also if I would have done the exact same thing you would have done. But what my reasoning would have been was is that we've seen that the streaming numbers of Hogwarts Legacy has significantly fallen off.
Yes.
Because once you beat the game, there's not really a whole lot left to do.
No, there's no like end game content or any supplemental content. And I'm gonna take a second and compare Hogwarts Legacy to Final Fantasy X
Okay.
because Final Fantasy X included the game Blitzball, right? It was a side thing that was contained within the game and everybody went bananas batshit crazy over that game within the game. I know I did. So they could have done that same thing with Hogwarts Legacy and Quidditch because people go batshit crazy for that. So why not just make a like homogenous relationship between the two? I
No,
don't
I
get it.
absolutely agree. I absolutely agree and I understand, but this is the decision they wish to make. And can we fault them for it? No, it's their business. They can do whatever they want, but I can see why people are upset. So, will I personally be picking this up? Probably not.
No, I know I won't.
No, I don't really enjoy a lot of sports games, and Quidditch is just technically considered a sport. And I don't believe in paying $50, $60 for this.
I will say a fun fact about Harry Potter and Quidditch and its video game iterations. Did you know that the last one that was released was for the PlayStation 1 in 2003?
So it's a 20-year anniversary.
Yep.
Well, look at that.
Is that intentional? Probably.
Probably not.
Who knows? Who knows?
I guarantee 20 years ago, I don't know if Warner Brothers was expecting Harry Potter to get as big as it has.
No. I guarantee they didn't. But I think they may have intentionally tried to line it up. Who knows, though?
We'll see. So
Yes.
let's switch our topics. And speaking of old companies,
Yes.
let's talk about Sega. I feel like we don't talk about Sega a lot.
We actually have not talked about them. I will say, though, I was v pleasantly happy with the murder mystery game that was released by them. Did you hear about this?
No.
All right, so it's a murder mystery game that involves the death of Sonic. And you, as the user, have to figure out who murdered him.
I have heard about this
Yeah.
actually.
And apparently, it sold extremely well. People were very positive towards the game. They received it extremely well. And overall, it was like a slam dunk.
Well, good for Sega. I know that when they have hits, they have really good hits, but the problem is they don't have a whole lot of hits anymore.
Yes. And I think that was one of the driving factors for this next story. And we're of course talking about Sega and their acquisition of the Angry Birds maker Rovio for $776 million.
I appreciate though when this story first came out, it was a much higher dollar amount.
Yes, initially it was $1 billion.
$1 billion.
But as we discussed in our private group chat, I saw that number. I'm like, Rovio is not worth that anymore. I'm
See,
sorry.
you and I, Mason, we had the exact same opinion, and I chameleon disagreed.
Yes, but
I
which
chameleon
is more than
believe,
okay.
which is more than fine. We don't always agree on everything. I chameleon believe that Angry Birds is still worth about $1 billion, because it was at one point the number one selling game. It was everywhere. Like it was everywhere. It was worth $1 billion. But from my perspective, I was like, yes, but Angry Birds has not been successful like that for a while now.
Yeah, it has not been relevant.
It hasn't. They had the movie, which was okay, man, made some money. The game, who's still playing the game? I didn't see the value in this acquisition, in my opinion.
The only value I see on Sega's end is they probably want to diversify and possibly expand into like the mobile realm, maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's a very expensive way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens.
I mean, I guess Sega's trying to compete with like likes of Pokemon Go, Mario Kart, and of Super Mario Run. But I feel like Sega has enough IPs that they can just do this themselves.
So it looks like I hit the nail on the head with my assessment because I just found a quote by the CEO of Sega. So, quote, "Among the rapidly growing global gaming market, the mobile gaming market has a especially high potential, and it has been Sega's long-term goal to accelerate its expansion in this field."
I
So
mean,
there you
yeah,
go.
but here's also something from the Verge article. Angry Birds has been adapted for the big screen twice. Okay, so I'll give you the full paragraph.
Okay.
Rovio is best known for its work on the Angry Birds franchise, which launched in 2009 and is claimed to be the first mobile game series to have reached 1 billion downloads. In total, Rovio says his games have been downloaded over 5 billion times. Angry Birds has since been adapted for the big screen twice, once in 2016 and again in 2019, but more recent entries in the franchise have struggled to make a similar impact. It's past its time. It's past
Yeah,
its prime.
I agree with that, and that's why I think it got devalued from that initial 1 billion because they're not worth that anymore.
I'm going to stick to what I said. I think that Sega has enough IPs that they did not need to purchase this. And speaking of IPs that I completely forgot about, Yakuza Like a Dragon was one.
Yes.
Like they have this, they Super Monkey Ball, the Virtua Fighter series, They could make Persona 5, the Persona series.
Oh yeah, that prints money.
I don't know. I don't see a reason as to this. This would be, if I was a Sega executive, which clearly I'm not, but if I was, first off, I would have changed things a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Second off, I would not have bought this. I wouldn't have. It would have been wouldn't have been my decision.
And I know you briefly mentioned Pokemon Go. This is just like a brief tangent, but Niantic is going to be releasing a new like Pokemon Go-esque style game in the vein of Monster Hunter. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did not. I remember playing Pokemon Go for like that one summer that was massive.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it, but like after that, I was like, yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I have not partook in Pokemon Go in quite some time.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who still currently actively plays it.
Yeah, I don't know either. I do know one person who's like really into it.
All right, well, good for them. So let's change topics here, and let's talk. We've been talking a little bit about movies. So let's go back into the movie realm.
Yes.
Now, I have not seen the Ant-Man and what is it? Ant-Man, the Quantum, and the Wasp.
The Quantum Realm or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, I don't really care for the Ant-Man series. I've not watched any of them.
I like the first one.
No, I haven't watched any of them. For some reason, Ant-Man just doesn't do it for me.
The first one was good. The second one was all right. And I had no interest in the new one, so.
And if Matthew McConaughey was in the third, it'd be all right. That was dumb.
Hey, that was pretty good, though. I enjoy that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, the reason I bring up Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumanium or whatever, is because the person who has been playing Kang the Conqueror is the actor Jonathan Majors.
Yes.
Now, you might be wondering, oh, Jonathan Majors, where do I know that name before? Creed, he was in the most recent Creed film.
Yes.
And as of right now, he is blowing up in Hollywood. Rumor has it that he's supposed to be playing a Dennis Rodman. I think it was like in 48 Hours in like Las Vegas or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's blowing up right now. He's the it guy for African-American acting. He is supposed to be it, right?
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's going through some legal trouble.
Some? Well, let me just read you some of the headlines that I came across. Jonathan Majors issues worsens as major alleged abuse victims cooperate with the DA's office. Everything Jonathan Majors has been dropped from. Jonathan Majors dropped from upcoming projects as career fallout continues. Zero conversation about Marvel recasting. Kang reporters Jonathan Majors' troubles mounts. Jonathan Majors reportedly dropped by manager, PR team following domestic violence arrest. It's not looking good for Jonathan Majors. So what had happened was, from what I could glean, because again, this is all hearsay. We don't know the true story. None of us were there. What I could glean from what I read, Jonathan Majors was in New York City, and he was in a taxi with what we can assume to be his girlfriend or his partner or a lady friend of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
An argument ensued, and there was physical actions against the woman. I did not read anything about physical actions against Jonathan Majors. There was reports that she had passed out, and there was reports of possible strangulation.
Oh.
Yes. And now the 911 was called. Jonathan Majors was arrested. And he was eventually released from, he was released early or whatever. And after he was released, some text messages came out from the victim saying, oh, it really wasn't that bad. I'm going to tell him it didn't really happen and things like this to kind of like, oh, Jonathan Majors didn't really do anything bad, right? The problem is, once you put yourself in the court of public opinion, you're almost always wrong.
Yeah, and I do hate to say it. It's just the name of the game nowadays. The court of public opinion has all the say. Even after, like, let's say, for instance, you get found like innocent from the actual court case, you're still like cast aside in the public eye.
Yep. Look at Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson.
I mean, the Rick and Morty guy, Justin Roiland, like he just got done with his court case, was found innocent.
Yep.
And he's still like being like blacklisted in a way.
I even think Kevin Spacey was found innocent.
He was. Yeah, he was.
And he's been entirely blackballed from Hollywood.
Yep.
Now, obviously, we're not saying one way or the other, because, again, we weren't there.
No, exactly.
But I will say, there's two points I want to make. The first point, Ezra Miller.
Yeah. I mean, he was found, like, he's guilty.
Ezra Miller, sorry, I forgot. Your Honor, all right. They were found guilty. They had assault. They were breaking in. They were captured with grooming. Did Ezra Miller get dropped from all of their projects?
Nope.
So I don't want to start a race-based conversation here, Mason. But
it's hard not to take it there.
It's hard not to. Now, if Jonathan Majors did these terrible things, well, and that may be true, because there have been some people who are saying Jonathan Majors has been doing this for years. They know other people who he's assaulted. If that's the case, then obviously he needs to deal with that in the court, whatever that goes and happens.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is kind of weird, being a person of color myself, to see that consequences are not treated equally across the board.
No, it's kind of like a cherry pick sort of thing.
Yes.
At least that's what it seems to be.
It is, and I've not seen anything that Jonathan Majors is in. All I know is that he's the it guy, and I heard that he's a very good actor. So that was point one. Ezra Miller is point one. And my second point, which is actually a counterpoint, and this is something that I watched while watching the TikTok. Again, we are on TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. I was watching this TikTok, and it was this woman who works in PR.
Okay.
And she says, my entire job is to make sure I defend you no matter what. I am the Olivia Pope of my job. If you are being hired by a PR firm, no matter how bad it is, that's what we're here for. We're here for the bad times. We're not here for the good. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's their job.
And she said, if a PR firm is willing to drop an actor who is currently in a Marvel Disney movie, that is telling you that they know a lot more information, and they cannot reasonably a good conscience defend him. And she was a person of color. She said, we have never dropped someone like this.
Yeah.
Unless there is actual reason to say, we cannot fix this.
Yeah, it was like the dam has broken.
Yep. And his talent agency also dropped Armie Hammer as well. And I believe Bryan Singer, American filmmaker.
Why'd they drop him?
Let me see. Probably because how bad X-Men franchise has been. No. Actually, much more. It's actually a really dark reason, actually. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, we can cover it very quickly.
Singer directed the first two movies in the X-Men franchise, Return for prequels, X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men Apocalypse. He has since been accused of sexual assault and rape by multiple men.
Yep. We don't like that.
They dropped him too, and that was the last time you heard of Bryan Singer until he did Bohemian Rhapsody, which I think is very interesting that he was able to do that movie.
Agreed.
But that was the last movie he ever did.
Yeesh.
So if you're getting dropped, there's probably a reason. And with Jonathan Majors, it's weird to see how quick everybody was willing to drop him based off of this allegations, but how everybody was perfectly fine allowing Ezra Miller to continue doing what Ezra Miller was doing, which consisted of an accusation of grooming children and breaking into houses and assaulting people everywhere they went.
Jeez, we got all sorts of like crimes happening. Swear.
Yeah, welcome to America.
And in that same vein, while we're on the topic of crime, apparently there was a Pokemon trading card game heist that went terribly, terribly wrong for the thief, thank God. And this story was covered by Polygon. I highly recommend checking out their article on it. And this basically stemmed from a picture that was posted on, everybody's favorite website, Reddit.
Naturally.
So there's this image on Reddit. It's a massive like white table full of extremely rare Fusion Strike Pokemon cards, right? They're okay. Very, very valuable, right? And this all came from like 2020, and we're just now kind of hearing word about it. So when this set dropped, there was reports of the rares, the super rares, the really high value cards being short printed because people weren't pulling them as much as they should have been based upon like past pull rates, right?
Right.
And which influenced the price of these super rare cards. Obviously if the supply is low, demand high, the price is going to be higher, law of supply and demand. So we come to find out a worker for the printing company basically went behind everybody's back and stole hits off of the assembly line and tried to offload them at a local game store. And so what they tried doing is they found a buyer, and the buyer's just like, okay, cool, send me a photo please with proof, and then we'll work a deal out, right? So it took about a month or so from the seller to provide photographic evidence of all these cards that he wanted to sell this guy. And the buyer was just like, huh, that's kind of weird that there's so many.
Yeah, because, and can I give you like some of the hit rates?
Yeah, please.
So one of the pull rates for the Fusion Strike is 1 in 1,080, 1 in 864, 1 in 2,160, 1 in 1,440. The smallest one is like 1 in 332. Mm-hmm. So you would have to have bought a lot of cards to have been able to collect all of them. Because it's just based off hit rate, it would have taken you so much time and so much money that it could clearly look suspicious if you just have them all.
Yeah, and honestly, the thief is such a, excuse my language, but he's such a fucking idiot, because if he didn't want to get caught, he should have been selling them incrementally, not all at once.
I will tell you, uninformed listeners, do not listen to Mason. We do not condone how
to properly sell
off your stolen cards.
I'm just saying, if he wanted to be smart about it, he should have done something different. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, because that's what I always find funny is like how they get caught. Like,
yeah, it's just like you're being stupid, dude.
Yeah, like when you steal, like one of my favorite YouTube series is Insider, where it's like people talking about their jobs and whether movies are real. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones I watched is like Diamond Heist.
Yeah.
And like how you steal diamonds, and then like the guy is just like, so what we're doing is we're stealing that diamond and then we're breaking it apart and then we're waiting months and then we're selling it to one vendor. We're going across the country to sell it to another vendor. You're not selling it all at one place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just that's how you get caught, is you sell it all at one place.
Mm-hmm.
So people are dumb.
Yeah, and finally, the Pokemon Company have responded to this with a official statement. And once I give the statement, we will move on to our next topic. So we have, quote, "We take the protection of our IP and associated products very seriously. This matter remains under investigation, and we cannot comment on details at this time. However, we can confirm that Sword and Shield booster packs and products were shipped to retail as intended, and we have no indication that the integrity of those products were impacted by any confirmed or unconfirmed theft. Furthermore, we continue to significantly invest both in the production and security of our TCG business. We value the faith our fans have put in us, our products, and these investments, and hope to continue our relationship and maintain their trust."
I mean, I appreciate the statement and I appreciate everything, but my question is, when did people become so greedy?
Oh, I mean, the pandemic really just flipped a switch in people's heads.
I hate everything now. Everybody thinks that they're a hustler. Everybody thinks, oh, the best way to make money is you just gotta go out and make money. You just gotta go out and make money. Shut up. Like, stop stealing and just stop. One, stop stealing, because that's problem number one. Problem number two is stop waiting until Target opens and then running to the Pokemon card section and buying all the cards.
Yeah, and getting into fights over it.
Yeah, that's just dumb. Like, yo, calm down. Life ain't this difficult.
No, it is not.
All right, let's switch our topics. And this one is one that I actually found very interesting. This is one I think Chris sent us, both of us. Now, Chris sent us a video. I believe it was Chris, iChameleon. He sent us a video, and it was called "Gaming in Your 30s." And it looks like there's a guy on TikTok, and he's playing Horizon Forbidden West. And he's taking on a boss, and he gets absolutely murdered. And I guess what's the funny part about the TikTok is he pauses the game and he changes it to easy mode to beat the boss. And the question is changing the game from your current difficulty to easy mode to get past a part, is it okay? Or should we look for that challenge, and that challenge what helps makes us better?
I mean, it depends, all right? So it depends on what you want from the game, right? If you just want to experience the game for like its story and you don't really care about being quote unquote challenged, go for it. Put it on easy mode. Like, I honestly have no qualms with somebody, who doesn't have a lot of time to invest in a video game to put it on a easier difficulty just so they can get, through it quicker. They still get the same experience with the video game in terms of digesting the story. As in regards to everything else, like the challenge aspect or whatever, yeah, no, it can be argued that they're not being stimulated in that way, but maybe they don't care about that. So it just depends on what kind of gamer you are. And I think it's okay. I think easy mode's fine.
I agree with you, and I think that there it also depends on the game you're playing.
Yeah.
For me, when I was playing, when I still do, I was playing Formula One 2022. Now, when you start off this game, you actually start in the Formula 2 series, which is a feeder series into Formula 1. So I was playing Formula 2, and like I was just murking. I was first place every single time. I was like 20 seconds ahead. It just wasn't entertaining to me. So when I got promoted to Formula 1, I chose actually a lesser team, a team that's not as fast, AlphaTauri, for my Formula 1 listeners. And I actually raised the difficulty up.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I'm like, if I was winning easily, I want to choose a bad team, and I want to feel like I'm actually competing. And when I play Formula 1 2022, not only are my hands hurting at the end, but I'm sweating. Like, I am actually trying to win. I have yet to win a race in Formula 1, but I'm fine with that because I'm not supposed to. There is very few, at least right now, there is very few rookies who come into Formula 1 who win a race. If they even get in the top 10, that they're lucky. So usually I'll finish in like fifth or sixth with an AlphaTauri, which everybody knows is a terrible car. So I'm still putting in a big of a challenge, and my hands are still hurting at the end of it. Like, I can only do one race at a time because like my hands will be murdering. But I do remember a time when I was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where I initially started on hard difficulty, and I just didn't like it on hard. I didn't like it on hard. I actually dropped it down. I dropped it down to like medium, and I enjoy playing a little bit more.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it just depends on what you do. I think it's perfectly fine, unless you want a challenge. If you really want a challenge, leave it at your difficulty. But if you want to get past the frustrating moment, there's no shame in dropping
No,
down.
not at all. I usually like when I'm first play a video game, I try to put it on a normal difficulty. And
Yeah.
then, if I want to unlock achievements or get a better challenge or whatever, I'll increase the difficulty.
Agreed. So let's switch over to our last topic. And this
Yes.
topic, I'm going to be honest with you, Mason, is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising, Devin, because this is coming from IGN. So,
That explains everything.
I mean, take this with a huge grain of salt, honestly. And they recently did a Ultimate Sports Video Game Showdown where, you know, fans would go to their website and cast their votes as to, you know, what the best sports video game there is. And I'm just kind of looking at this list. There's a lot of exclusions, and I heavily disagree with the ultimate winner of the category, because in my eyes, it's not really a sports game because it's made up.
Right.
Like, all right. So just to rip the Band-Aid off, the number one sports game title.
Sports video game of all time. Number one sports video game of all time. This is the best sports game
of
all time.
Mario Kart 8.
No. That's not even the best Mario Kart.
Yeah, I would say like Double Dash, honestly. I was going to
say Double Dash.
Like Double Dash was legit.
Okay, so now you listeners might be wondering, well, if Mario Kart was number one, what was number two? Mario Golf World Tour.
And at least that's a real sport, I guess. But
yeah, but then you break it down. Mario Golf World Tour was up against FIFA 2012. Okay, two sports. But Mario Kart 8 was up against Forza Horizon 5.
Yep.
Which is a street racing game. Is street racing sports now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say street racing is more of a sport than Mario Kart.
Well, if Mario Kart is racing, I consider Formula One a sport. I 100% do.
Yeah, it is.
Do I consider Mario Kart a sport?
I don't.
I don't either. But Mason, when I'm looking at this list, you know what's missing from this list?
What?
There is not a single WWE game on this list.
Yeah, there's no wrestling. Like, where's SmackDown?
There is no SmackDown. There's no Bring the Pain. Somehow, listeners, Wii Sports lost to Mario Kart 8 in the very first round. An actual sports game lost. Punch-Out.
Yeah, I would argue, like, Wii Sports... I would not have been mad if Wii Sports won the whole thing.
I would not have been mad at that either. That would have made sense to me.
Because that game was iconic.
Yes. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit beat UFC 3 Undisputed. That makes no sense to me. I love Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Don't get me twisted. But I would never consider that a sports game. If I was voting, I would not have voted for a single racing game in this category. Well, no, I would vote for Forza Motorsport and Gran Turismo and Formula One, because those are real sports games. Mm-hmm. Need for Speed and Forza Horizon is not a sports game to me. Punch-Out, which probably could have been considered best sports game of all time, lost in the first round of Fight Night Round 4.
Which didn't make sense to me.
Rocket League lost out to Football Manager 2023. This is just a dumb list. Like, I don't know.
It is.
Hold on. Let me just scroll down and see what the comments had to say. And this, after 624,620 votes.
Yeah, over half a million people voted on this.
Half a million people are dumb.
Yeah, yeah. So the first comment, which I agree with, Mario Kart, not a sports game at all. Agreed. It is a party game.
Somebody said they should do a separate poll only for people 35 years old and up. Outcome would be very different.
Yep.
Now somebody says, now the ultimate bracket, Mario Kart versus the U.S. Army.
Yeah, because I think this was sponsored by the United States Army for whatever reason.
Yeah, it seems like it's weird because it seems like all the comments seems to disagree.
Yeah, but it's just like if you disagreed, then... Did you vote?
Yeah, this is dumb. This is the dumbest list I've ever seen.
There's hardly any. There's one Madden game from 2005.
Ugh.
Like, what was the rationale there? I don't understand that. There's only one Tony Hawk game, and that was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
And would you consider Super Mario Brothers a sports game? Like Super Mario Melee or whatever, a sports game?
What, Super Smash Brothers?
Super Smash Brothers, yeah.
All right, so now we're going into the realm of esports, right?
Yeah, because that's the thing.
All right, so here's my argument as to why it's not.
It's a fighting game.
It is a fighting game, but it is not a sports video game.
But to be fair, Neither is Forza Horizon 5 or Need for Speed Opposite.
Yeah, but at least with Forza Horizon 5, they're doing high performance racing, which is a real sport.
Yes, but Forza Motorsport is the actual, it literally has sport in the name.
Yes.
Forza Motorsport makes sense to me. Forza Horizon doesn't. And this is probably, and I'm sure the listeners, I don't know if they're going to agree with me on this or not, because I have a lot of fucked up opinions. But Forza Motorsport was created because a lot of people did not like the simulated sport version of Forza Motorsport. They wanted something that was more cartoony, more arcadey, and that's where Forza Horizon came out from.
Yeah, because like they included Gran Turismo, but only the third one, which was weird because
Which wasn't even the best one either.
No, Gran Turismo 4 is the best one.
See, whoever put this list together is a dick. I'm gonna email whoever who wrote this. I'm gonna send them
Yeah,
strongly worded message.
send them some hate mail.
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm gonna send them death
No, please,
threats.
no, do not do that.
Because
We do.
we do not condone that, but I appreciate
No.
how like whenever someone disagrees with something, that's the first place
Yeah,
they go.
that's like the knee-jerk reaction. I'm gonna send him a death threat.
Come a death
Arr.
threat. All right. Well, shut up. But yeah, that's our last topic. Mason, got anything else for us?
I cannot think of anything off the top of my head. So yeah.
I have one quick final parting thought, and it has to do with Yakuza Like a Dragon. If they're gonna continue making the Yakuza series, which is absolutely fine. Love that. In Yakuza Like a Dragon, I have three teammates that walk around with me at any moment's time, right? And I appreciate that. I have three other teammates who can do battle with me. That's cool. But I thought about this as the game was ending. You know what would be even cooler?
What's that?
If I could have actually played mini games with those three teammates. Like, 'cause you know how like you can like go to an arcade and there's like a four person setup? I'd want to play against those three.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I thought that would have been something fun to do. Or like whenever I like go and play pool, we can do teams and I can just party up with them. I just wanted to play with them and not play by myself. I don't know how that would have been possible, but I was just sitting there after the game was finished. I'm like, you know, I probably would have bonded with this game a whole lot more if I could have actually just if they could have been like my NP my like I guess video game partners on the mini games. That would have been so cool.
I would have been.
But that is my final point. If you really want to go out and see Super Mario Brothers, feel free. I'm going to give it a 3 point. I'm going to give it a 3.0 out of 5. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5, uninformed gamers.
That's understandable.
Yeah, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I don't care for Chris Pratt, and I gave you my opinions. So, as you know, we are the Uninformed Gamers podcast. If you like what we do here, be sure to give us a like and subscribe. You can find us any place you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's Spotify, literally any place you listen to your podcast. If you wish to connect with us, you can contact us at our Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers, which Elon Musk, is it even called Twitter anymore? I think it's called X now or something like that. We also have our TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. If you wish to play with me, you can reach me at Darkness Tiger on Xbox and Darkness Tiger 2 on the PS5. All right, Mason, go ahead and give your sign off.
Well, I have been Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review on YouTube, as well as Rad underscore Dreams on Twitch. And as always, it has been a pleasure.
We will catch you guys next time. Bye.
Later.